All right, so as we talked about, guys, we want to get into the pros and cons of our beloved coffee. I guess my beloved coffee. So as Shannon mentioned, we've talked about this before. It's probably been, I look back, it's almost been two years ago.
Yeah.
Almost 2 years ago.
Been a couple minutes.
We did the pros and cons of coffee, and it was all based around this podcast I heard that your mom actually shared with me with Dr. Sanjay Chopra. So, yes, Deepak Chopra's brother. He's a doctor, professor at Harvard, met Harvard's medical school, and he came out with a book called The Five Simple Things You Can Do to Live a Healthier, Happier Life. And one of those things was drink coffee. And I was like, hey, I like the sound of this.
Yeah, woohoo!
So he listed several reasons why, you know, coffee intake can improve your health.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for checking out this week's episode of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. Welcome back. Happy holidays. We are now officially into, I think, what everybody can call the holiday season. Full swing. Christmas trees are going up. Hanukkah's right around the corner. I don't know enough about Kwanzaa to comment on it. But I know that the holidays are definitely here. We've gone to two tree lighting so far already, and it's only the first of December, basically.
Next week, right? Winter Wonderland.
We're going to I think it's a maze, actually.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
With maybe Santa's at the middle, I don't know.
Right. So with that in mind, if we are going to do our first kind of, I guess it's probably our first holiday recap this week, and then we're also going to dive into one of our favorite topics about one of our favorite things.
One of your favorites.
I would say coffee is one of both of our favorites.
I enjoy it, but it's not to the extent that you do.
That's true. Okay. But we are going to talk about some of the health pros and cons.
Yes.
Because we just had a new study came to our attention about some one of the cons of coffee intake.
Yeah.
So we're going to analyze both the good and the bad
of
our beloved coffee.
We've talked about this before.
Oh, yeah.
And so we're basically going to update the conversation.
Yes.
Keep you abreast of the latest news. Yes, I said abreast.
Mm-hmm. But before we do that, we got something else to tell you guys. Some new news. New news.
New news.
It's new news.
Woohoo! What is this new news?
Well, there is old news. This is new news.
Okay.
So the December challenges.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to update you on. November is gone, guys. Sorry. See you later.
Holy crap, it's December.
So now we are into December, and for the month of December, our fitness challenge will be 3 workouts a week.
Minimum.
You know, that's a minimum. Yeah, so maybe if you guys already hit that, you want to go higher, do it. But we're looking for anywhere from 10 to 15 minutes of kind of something that gets your heart rate up.
Yeah.
So not, you know, obviously walking's great. We're not going to poo-poo walking.
No.
But we want something to get your heart rate elevated. So
just a little challenge. Something that's going to not be at a regular heart rate.
Right.
Something that's going to make you little bit of a sweat.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So usually one way to tell that your heart rate is elevated past that kind of zone 2 training is when you're working out and you can't have a conversation.
Yeah.
Or it's kind of hard to have a conversation. That means you're kind of in the zone 3 or 4 level of heart rate training. So that's what we're looking for, at least 3 times a week. So give that a shot, guys, and report back to us. And in addition to that, we're doing the nutrition portion is journaling. So we are also going to try to document our meals for this month of December.
Yeah.
Any way possible.
And the idea is the fact that we could lay down some challenges on you and say, don't eat this, stay away from that. But it's the freaking holidays. Like, that's insanity. So instead of telling you that you should cut back on things, what we want to do is we want you to focus on your awareness of what you're consuming, because a lot of holiday food consumption and drinks comes from just not even paying attention, getting swept up in the spirit of the season. I mean, with actual spirits or goodies or whatever it might be, and not even realizing until, like, you feel like crap at the end of the month and you're like, oh my gosh, I need a detox. But you don't actually know what you ate, when you ate it, how much you ate it. So really, really think this is a great way to still hold yourself accountable if you want, but just to pay attention. That's right. Really all it is. You can use like the notes app on your phone, keep an actual journal if you want. Use an app like we've talked about many times that we really enjoy, apps like Lose It.
Yep.
There's free one, like they have a free version that's fantastic. It's just a straight like food log.
Yeah.
And you can go really detailed and actually measure your macros if you want to go that big, but we just want to kind of have it be mindful. So like write down generally how much of the amount you had and then whatever the food item was. So it's not meant to be overly complicated. It's just there to kind of give you something to look back on and say, oh, I haven't had a salad in a week. Like, maybe I should do something about that.
Yeah, I think I might just go the notes route and dictate it into my notes because I do like the Lose It app too. But
it takes time.
Yeah, you want
to. It absolutely does.
Yeah, and I think it's, you can, if you got the time, do it. Highly recommended, like Shannon says. But if you're rolling, you know, if the holidays has got you busy like most people, just dictate it into like your notes section on your phone or write it out longhand if you like it that way. So
yeah, use your calendar and dictate it into notes there, wherever.
Just stay a little cognizant of what you're putting in your pie hole.
That's all we're saying.
Mm-hmm. Including pie. So,
especially pie.
This week, our training recaps have become the holiday recaps. Shannon had this idea, and I thought it was a good one. So I'm going to let you jump into our first holiday recap.
And I thought it was a good one because if it sucked, then we would never be talking.
You guys would have never heard about it, you know? I would have vetoed it right away.
Yes. Well, kind of going back, I think for a lot of people this past week, it's Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is just one of those long holiday weeks. Like, I want to say, honestly, it almost feels like it lasts longer than Christmas because a lot of people kind of head out early on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, or at least like their mind checks out. And then you've got Thanksgiving, you've got the Friday after, and then you've got the full weekend. And like Black Friday, maybe you participate, maybe you don't. A lot of people actually pay attention to Cyber Monday still. Like, you come back to work on Monday, but how much are you really like in work mode after 4+ days of time off? You know, if you're lucky enough to have the weekend off. I just think it's like a really long break.
Yeah, it is.
So we're basically looking back on an epically long weekend.
Right.
For most people, mm-hmm. I think. So, of course, you know, training, it's not super simple to just continue maintaining what you do. But I think, particularly for Thanksgiving, we actually have honed in over the years on, like, pros and cons. Like, I feel like it's a balanced holiday for us.
Yeah.
We really do indulge, but we also, each year, we try to do something in terms of activity to kind of offset it.
Yes.
And we've talked about previous episodes, some of those tips for kind of how to balance out your holidays. And we really just wanted to kind of share how we do that and that we still do that. It's not just something that we preach. It's absolutely how we live.
Right.
So I actually did get in a couple workouts before the holiday. So I was really grateful for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like you go hard before the holiday knowing that you're probably going to overdo it on the goodies. But then I did a workout on Thanksgiving. I just did like a HIIT workout because between the travel and what I knew was coming later that day, I felt like I needed something.
Yeah.
Some kind of movement. And then the day after that, I say we decent on Thanksgiving, you know? I don't think I went back for like heavy amounts of seconds.
Yeah. We had the normal Thanksgiving fare and multiple pies.
And lots of the vegetable sides. for the meal, and then mm-hmm. I had a salad for dinner, and that was pretty yeah. good for me. But the day after, we started training for our 5K fun run.
Was that the day after? On yes. Friday we did that?
Yes.
Yes, you're right. It was, yes. Yeah, we were pretty busy that morning. Like you said, we went out, got our fun run in, also went to the pool and taught,
kind of. Did some playing and swimming with Ella.
Yeah, but I thought the fun run went pretty well. You know, it was our first time pushing Ella in the stroller and running.
Yeah.
I know your butt cheek was acting up a little bit, so.
My broken butt.
So we had to stretch your butt out in the middle of the street.
You know? I had to beat my butt.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, we were in a nice little area, kind of like on this resort property, and it had some nice sidewalk areas for us to run around and different kind of portions of the resort. So we saw a lot of that. So that was good. It was a good way to, try out our essentially do a trial run of our 5K. We didn't quite get a 5K, but, we were damn near close. So I think we're ready for next weekend.
Yeah, and for me, I don't know if anybody else is like this, I always do better on a race.
Yeah.
Like, during the actual race, that's usually my best performance. I don't know exactly why. It's probably because I don't perform in, like, really highly competitive things.
Right.
If I'm running, it's like a 5K, you know, like, that's as much as I want to do. But even, like, the triathlon, I feel like the sprint triathlon that we did.
Yep.
Even stuff like that, I feel like race day, I always perform better. Maybe it's like the adrenaline. Maybe it's just the fact that I know I'm in it. I don't know.
Well, no, it's very true. You know, that's usually supposed to come to, rise to the occasion on competition day. So I'm not too worried about our 5K next week. I'm actually very excited for our very first family competition.
Yeah, and this was one of the things that we kind of checked in on about halfway through the year that you said you really missed doing.
Yep.
And you took the initiative and signed us up.
Yep.
And honestly, it was nice just to go out and do something active as a family.
Yep.
That's what I really enjoyed. And surprisingly, Ella just chilled in the car seat and did pretty darn good.
Yeah, she did very well. So I think
car seat. Stroller.
Stroller.
Can you imagine toting a car seat around?
Well, that stroller we used to put the car seat on top of that stroller. Remember that? So
the little infant one. Yeah.
So we didn't run with it, but that would be probably irresponsible.
I did.
Maybe. Never mind. Not irresponsible. I did. Scratch that and say that.
It's a jogger.
It's very reliable. I'm not
padable.
I'm just joking.
Stroller.
But yeah. So that was good. I think that was a great. Kind of tradition. We've done that the last couple holidays, some form of exercise, whether it be a workout in the hotel room or going to the gym at the hotel we're at.
Mm-hmm.
We get to add in Ella in now, so that's good too. So
yeah.
I'm happy we did that.
Yep.
Then, of course, like you said, did our swim lesson with Ella. She got to enjoy the pool. So
yeah, and then she slept for 2 hours, including an hour in your arms at the restaurant, which she hasn't done since she was an infant.
Maybe that's why my back is hurting.
Maybe. My butt was broke last time we talked. Now your back is broken.
Yeah,
that's probably why.
That's probably the contributing factor.
It's an hour of just holding her in one arm.
Yeah. Yeah, that was interesting. I don't think that's ever happened to me before. So so it was a good holiday, though. The ride over there wasn't fun, but, the ride back was very smooth.
Yeah, the travel's always a bugger.
The ride was smooth, and, we've got a reliable hotel that we go to. We're learning every year, I think, as we go. So we're going to, I think next year if we do head over there, maybe we'll try out somewhere new. Maybe I will definitely bring my own pillows.
Because, I did that this time. I even did that for Ella.
we've talked about this, about how important sleep is. Just had a sleep expert on recently. And, I feel like, I can sleep anywhere, which is relatively true, or typically true, I should say.
But can you sleep well?
That's the key. That is, used to, I'd be like, didn't matter what I had, I could fall asleep. But now I'm to the point where, bringing your own pillow does matter.
Cause it does, man.
I don't know what hotel pillows are made out of, but they essentially degrade to nothing over time.
I hate them.
They just, they're, deflated. And yeah. you fall asleep, you wake up, your head's on the mattress. So
you, like, start with this fluffy thing yeah. that's like, oh, that's nice. And then, you know, you've got both sides of the pillow, like, surrounding your ear. It's so yeah. fluffy. Then you end up on nothing.
Yeah, I know. First world problems and everything. But still, another yeah. contributing factor to why I think my back feels like duty. So the yeah. holiday recap, we learned a lot, but we did a lot also, I think.
Yeah, well, and I think we've stuck and held true with our primary goal of the holiday. Like every time we have a major holiday, especially when we have to travel for, it's just trying to maintain a balance. Mm-hmm. It's not like going extremely one way or the other. You know, when Ella was really little, I think we had at least 1 or 2 years, you know, probably at least 1 year, her first year, where we really didn't get to do a whole lot.
Yeah.
But still, we took her for walks.
Right.
You know, like, yeah. we've tried.
Yeah.
So I think it's getting more balanced.
Right.
We're getting back into it. Yeah. We are. We're learning, like, the parent game now.
Yeah. So,
do that.
And I think what's interesting to see, we got another holiday. We got, you know, obviously another holiday coming up. So we'll see how we do with this holiday and how we stick on track. And obviously, we have our December challenges. So we're going to get at least 3 workouts in a week.
Yeah, I'm feeling good about that.
Christmas Day workout, we'll see.
Yeah, maybe New Year's.
Yeah, New Year's, yeah, that's exactly right. And then we'll be into 2020.
Ooh,
we have to do our recap soon. All right, so as we talked about, guys, we want to get into the pros and cons of our beloved coffee. I guess my beloved coffee. So as Shannon mentioned, we've talked about this before. It's probably been, I look back, It's almost 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Almost 2 years ago.
Been a couple minutes.
We did the pros and cons of coffee, and it was all based around this podcast I heard that your mom actually shared with me with Dr. Sanjay Chopra. So, yes, Deepak Chopra's brother. He's a doctor, professor at Harvard, met Harvard's medical school, and he came out with a book called The 5 Simple Things You Can Do to Live a Healthier, Happier Life. And one of those things was drink coffee. And I was like, hey, I like the sound of this.
Yeah, woohoo!
So he listed several reasons why, you know, coffee intake can improve your health. And we talked about this in the past episode. And some of the pros, we'll just kind of outline them now, are coffee contains chlorogenic acid, which is one of the world's richest antioxidants, prevents oxidation, reduces the free radicals that can cause damage to your cells. And it's an important thing to remember because we're going to touch on that towards the end of this because we're going to update this whole pros and cons list with some new information about an article I just read. Actually, I think Shannon shared with me.
Yep.
So it's kind of cool. One of the cons, we'll go back and forth between pros and cons. I'll do the cons and then Shannon can jump in the pros next time. Okay, so one of the cons is bad breath. And you guys will tell where my kind of bias lies because I talk really well about coffee or talk really highly about coffee and the pros.
Really well.
I speak real good. I speak highly of coffee's benefits, but don't really elaborate on the cons, you know,
yeah.
because I'm biased. I'm sorry. I'm not going to lie to you. One of the cons is probably one that a lot of people know is bad breath. You know, everybody hates coffee breath. Super yeah. cognizant of it. You know,
you're a personal trainer, too.
Yeah, so yeah. I try to, every time I drink coffee in the morning, if I got a little break between a client, I'll brush my teeth because I can't. As you said, I have to talk to people, so I want to make sure I don't have that disgusting coffee breath guy. So,
yeah.
What's the next pros?
It does prevent liver disease. About 4 cups of coffee could prevent alcohol-induced cirrhosis. Up to 80%,
right?
Which is a lot.
Yeah,
of coffee.
And I remember hearing this on that podcast and going and checking. There are studies that confirm this. Now, you know, obviously, with anything, you got to make sure you look at the methodology they yeah. had. So, but it's interesting to see So, not that it does, but it can.
So a con is, now this one is what I think of mm-hmm. in terms of the. I know this sounds superficial as heck, but it stains your teeth.
Yep.
So, I mean, drinking through a straw looks kind of kooky, but mm-hmm. it really is better for your teeth.
Right. Yeah, well, that too, and coffee, depending on it can be acidic.
It can contribute to the erosion.
Yeah, natural erosion.
So yeah, that's true. And then, you know, I was interesting. I heard a dentist talking about this recently. She drinks coffee, and she was like, "Yeah, coffee can ruin your enamel. Seltzer water can ruin your enamel. It's like
everything wine can ruin your enamel."
It's like, she's like, it's if you can take care of your teeth after that is really what happens. Yeah.
Brush.
Exactly. So so the next pro that we outlined years ago and still holds true today, lowers the risk of certain types of cancers. Studies show that drinking regular or decaf coffee resulted in significant reduction of a lethal prostate cancer. So I thought that was another really important kind of pro with coffee, and you know, it's it made me believe that I'm helping my body every morning. So one of the cons is that there can be tremors and insomnia associated with caffeine. Some people have heard about this with over caffeinated people, kind of the shakes, and maybe if you drink it late at night, you can't sleep. But then if you're trying to go off of it, some of those symptoms happen too with caffeine withdrawals. So
we've not actually, like, what we're generally talking about here too is like between like 2 to 4 cups daily of coffee consumption. We're not talking about the coffee addiction, because obviously the addiction to coffee is a huge negative.
Right.
But if you are not abusing the amount of coffee you drink, that's where these pros and cons fall.
Right. Good point.
I know. Another pro is that studies have actually linked coffee consumption, regular and decaf, to the reduction in the development of both Parkinson's and Alzheimer's disease. Hello. And there are actually a lot more studies that are being performed to confirm those findings. This, again, is one of those points around, like, Alzheimer's and stuff like that. I'm really hoping this holds true and that my daily cup of coffee is gonna do me some good in that general area, but that's a big one.
And I think, like, that the what they said in that last part about more studies are being formed to confirm these findings,
it's still going.
I think that's going with all these things, all these pros we list, that, and we're going to touch on it in the last one too, because I want to expound on that.
Yeah. So another con, though, is that there is a small elevation in blood pressure. So individuals with hypertension probably want to avoid regular coffee consumption, because it's not going to help you. That's for darn sure.
And I know, in addition to hypertension, I had a client that had like a small heart arrhythmia, and his doctor recommended that he not drink caffeinated beverages because it could be, said, very slim chance of you having, you know, heart problem, but he's like, it can be possible since you already have type of essentially a regular heartbeat.
Yeah, so, I mean, heck, when I was pregnant and they said you can have like one cup of coffee a day, but then Ella had like a period of time where we were going to see like cardiac specialists, because she had what do you call it? The like inconsistent heartbeat.
Arrhythmia.
Yeah, she had like a form of that.
Murmur, right?
No, it was inconsistent.
Okay.
Yeah, and they told me, they're like, you can't have any caffeine of any kind. And that was the first time where someone told me, like, no, you can't have any. Like, even decaf coffee. They didn't suggest I even have decaf coffee. So, I mean, it has an impact, for sure.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so the next pro is it can be used as an exercise supplement. You know, we talked about this before, caffeine being a pre-workout, essentially. Specifically coffee that caffeine can improve performance and endurance events. So that's something I always, when people ask me about pre-workout, the only thing I tell them is that only thing I've ever used is coffee. Haven't used any other caffeine supplement or anything like that. But, you know, there are plenty of pre-workouts that contain caffeine, and studies that show that, you know, increase in sports performance and especially endurance performance and endurance events. So,
and we're not talking about the fancy schmancy sugar-laden lattes at Starbucks either, folks.
Yeah, those have a whole other
pros and cons list.
I think we already touched on this earlier, but coffee's acidity could cause heartburn or side effects of IBS. So we talked about acidity, but we didn't talk about the heartburn and IBS that it could cause. Yeah. So the final pro, I'm going to let you jump on it.
Yeah, there is insulin sensitizing. So drinking caffeinated and decaffeinated black coffee can actually reduce the risk of developing type 2 diabetes.
All right, so this is kind of the pro where the new information that Shannon shared with me kind of it
contradicts.
Thank you. Perfect. Because the article that we found on or Shannon found on Mind Body Good from a medical doctor talked about how some studies essentially contradict this statement, how actually caffeine intake can have the exact opposite. It can't. It's not insulin sensitizing. It actually causes insulin resistance. It increases blood glucose levels and causes the body to reduce or release more insulin. But we took a kind of broke down. You look at this article. It shows that it's from column A, it's kind of yes and no from both parts.
Kind of inconclusive, to be honest.
That's true. It's one of those things that we need more information.
Yeah.
So they found in the study, and it was recently, it was in 2019, that they found that acute caffeine consumption, and acute means short-term. So short-term caffeine consumption can lead to things like basically the opposite of insulin sensitivity. It's insulin resistance. It can raise blood glucose levels and also cause cells to become insulin resistant, like I said. But then they also looked at long-term studies of caffeine and caffeine, specifically coffee intake, and they found, like what you said, they found that it was also actually insulin sensitizing and can reduce the risk of things like type 2 diabetes. So
in the short term, it can give you type 2 diabetes, but in the long term, it makes it better.
So what it said, studies had different type of methodology. So that's why it's so contradictory. The article, it was a, I don't want to get too into the weeds. Basically, they analyzed a bunch of studies.
Yeah.
So it's called a meta-analysis. So they analyze studies and they have certain parameters. So only 7 studies actually met the parameters. And they found throughout those 7 studies that short-term caffeine can cause, you know, blood glucose levels to spike. And long-term, it actually has the opposite effect. And what they believe is that the components of coffee, the different types of polyphenols, the different types of, you know, basically antioxidants that it has, the chlorogenic acid that we talked about, that may actually have a positive effect on, like, lowering blood glucose, making cells more insulin resistant. So what you said earlier is that it's somewhat inconclusive.
Yeah.
It could be column A, it could be column B. One thing they did say in that article, which I thought was important, is that it kind of depends how you metabolize caffeine.
Yeah.
Some people are fast metabolizers, some people are slow metabolizers. Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard to figure that out. You can, basically, it's if you drink a cup of coffee and you feel like you're extremely wired right off the bat, you're probably a fast metabolizer. That's probably where you might run into your blood glucose might be spiking just by drinking coffee. But if you feel kind of mellow level of energy, you're probably a slow metabolizer. That's where usually you're kind of more, your blood glucose isn't spiking. So it's
as
like,
much.
Yes. So it's things that it's different for every individual. It's different with the amount of caffeine you're getting. It's dose dependent.
Yeah.
Male and female, it depends. So it's, you know, I think when we first did this, of course, I found all those awesome pros and the cons. I was like, oh, it's ridiculous. Coffee is the healthiest beverage in the world. I still believe black coffee, both caffeinated or decaffeinated, especially decaffeinated now, can be very healthy. It has a lot of healthy components in it, and caffeine can be beneficial too, but also can be detrimental to some people based on some of these studies.
Yep. Yeah, and I mean, I think it goes to say too, if you are a person who has a natural inclination towards attachments or negative abuse of items,
you could say addiction.
then, you know, coffee has that tendency to trigger that addiction. So it is an addictive substance. That much they have also proven. And people don't even have to drink coffee. A lot of people addicted to caffeine, for example, are addicted to, like, sodas.
That's exactly
and stuff
right.
like that. Yep. So it's not that coffee is the evil one in it. It really kind of comes down to the caffeination.
Yeah.
As we're talking about today, it's the decaffeinated side of coffee, not the caffeine, that is also a kind of star performer.
That's true. That's very true.
When you think about, like, oh, I'm just going to eliminate all the coffee from my diet, but oh yeah, I'm still drinking all of those caffeinated sodas.
Right.
You're not doing yourself any favors.
Right. And like, so, you said, maybe we got to start incorporating more decaf coffee in my life.
I'd be down for it, honestly.
If they can get some good ones out there, you know, I believe one of our local people, Buddy Brew, makes a decaffeinated bean and stuff like that. I know it's really hard to do with the decaffeination process. It's sometimes it's not very clean, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
But I think people like, our local roasters, Buddy Brew, makes a decaf coffee, which I think is probably pretty good. I imagine they're really high quality. So,
yeah.
And talk to our buddies. We got a lot of buddies in the coffee business, so maybe they know some good recommendations.
I know. I'll have to ask them, especially the hemp coffee guys.
Yeah, hemp coffee guys. Of course,
got brewing.
Greg Spadding, see what he's got too.
Yeah.
So, that's it. I just want to let you guys know I'm not completely biased, you know. I'm not an immovable
object.
He's still
reading other points of perspective.
I'm not an immovable object when it comes to coffee, okay? I love hearing other perspectives. So, I am not opposed to maybe adding some decaf to my diet.
Well, maybe that's a test for another month.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe that is a challenge for, especially for me, yours truly, but maybe anybody else who wants to jump on there, because coffee is the most consumed beverage worldwide. But as you said, maybe we'll talk about that in 2020's challenges.
Yes.
So guys, as we mentioned, December challenges. We are doing 3 workouts a week minimum, and we are going to try
10 to 15 minutes each.
Yes, get that heart rate elevated, okay, huffing and puffing a little bit. And then we're going to try to document our meals throughout the month of December.
Food journal.
Yes.
Accountability.
Yeah. Well, you know, just spit out some words into the voice memo about what you ate for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Yeah.
And then start looking back over and see how little, how much you had.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It helps.
You got anything else for them this week?
I don't.
Mm-hmm. We're caught down.
Yeah.
Only a few more episodes left in this year.
Which is crazy.
That's right. So we're gonna end this year with a bang.
Heck yeah.
All right. You got anything else for them this week?
Nope.
This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We'll check you next time.
Bye.
For all things Addicted to Fitness, you can check out our website, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter at the ATF Podcast and like and follow the Addicted to Fitness Podcast Facebook page. Last but not least, please give us a rating and review in the iTunes Store. Thanks.